Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system. At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Hey guys, this is Luke, rural Hold Steady fan here in out in the woods in northern Michigan. Longtime listener, first time caller. Just calling to let you guys know my thoughts on the Hold Steady's new record. I've been a listener since 2004. They've been my favorite band since very nearly after that. And the thing to me is they had one downer, which was Thrashing Through the Passion. I thought that was a swing and a miss. But other than that, they've really grown with me as I've grown older. And I'm sure there's a lot of people that feel this way. But, you know, you get a tattoo of your favorite band. I got my Stay Positive tattoo years ago. And you sort of expect at some point they're going to start sucking. And it's going to be kind of an embarrassing thing to have. And that hasn't happened. They seem just as relevant to me now at age 34 as they did when I got into them at age, you know, 20 or whatever. And I think that that's because they've just done such a good job of aging with their characters and keeping things interesting, straying a little bit from the formula, but not too far. I think Carlos is Crying is an absolutely instant classic. I think Distortions of Faith is a totally new sort of song for them, and I'm just so glad to be a fan of this band.
Carlos knows his sister's old enough to make her own decisions. Isn't home when she finally comes to take that church to jail. Then Carlos starts crying and we're all kind of frightened. Every single person at the table stops talking. He's shouting and shaking. Yeah, we've been drinking, but it's different for boys. He said, how did this happen? It feels like we're drifting. Are you sure we're even asking all the pertinent questions? Turn on the burner.
We got bored, so we started a podcast about the best bar band in the land, man. This is the Hood Rat Recap, and we are back. We are your steady stream of the unified scene, all the news and reviews of a band that you love, we love, and Carlos may be crying, but my man is speaking truth.
Hello, everybody. This is Stage Right Mike on the mic, and I can talk Hold Steady all night. And whenever I do like to talk Hold Steady heavy, I like to gather the rest of the Hood Rat Pack.
And I'm heading all the way to the place where they always cut their pizza in triangles. And we'll start out with the Unified Scene's very own King of Queens, Gasper. Gasper, how are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good, Mike. But you know what? I've been trying to get people to call me Eminem.
Well, why is that, Gasper?
Because I'm smooth and melts in your mouth and not in your hands.
How's that working out for you?
Not so well, sir. Not so well. People keep calling me Vanilla Ice, so I think I'll just stick with King of Queens.
Ooh, twist ending. I thought you were going with the candy there.
I did that just for Kevin.
Wow. You know what? In my head, it sounded funnier than I really thought it was. And the delivery is really... I mean, it's after Easter, so I guess we can just let that go. But sorry to our listeners who
Stop, you love this. You know you love this.
It's true. We almost went without it, and I had to come up with something quick because I just felt like our listeners needed to hear me groan about your bad jokes.
And that's the sweet, sweet sound of our producer and third mic, Kevin is whatever, man. How you doing, Kev?
I am doing okay. It's nice to get back with you guys and talk to everybody. We've had a couple of weeks now to sort of digest the new Hold Steady album, and I'm really excited. I know we had a bunch of fans call in on our SpeakPipe. I know you went to the in-store and got a bunch of people, man, on the street. So enough about us. Let's hear what everybody else had to say and kind of get into it.
Yeah, man. And like, thank you guys for doing the SpeakPipe. We really do appreciate it.
So yeah, we wanted to hear from you, the Unified Scene, and you guys didn't disappoint. So we cracked out the Unified Scene's answering machine. Think of a Hold Steady answering machine type song, but we couldn't really pick one out. I was thinking maybe where he says Dead Pockets and Bird Watchers. I don't know, but that's not really an answering machine. Do you guys think of any reference that Craig or Lifter Polar makes to an answering machine?
Nah, we tossed this one around and I didn't see too many.
Yeah, nothing was an immediate sort of tie-in.
But that might be my favorite Replacement song. I don't know.
And the Replacements are definitely part of the Unified scene, like, in general. So I think it works.
But if we do ever need a song about cigarettes or beer, we're good, because we'll just have a plethora to pick from. But Answering Machine and the Hold Steady canon is sort of a unique thing.
All right. Well, someone that left an answer on our answering machine was Andrew from Australia. So let's go and see what he has to say.
Hey there, Hold Right Recap. Andrew here from Australia. Just having listened to The Price of Progress, and it's a sleeper, this album. It creeps up on you. First listen, I thought, ooh, what have they done? But now I'm really liking it. I'm getting into the intricacies of some of the songs, and I'm finding it quite an entertaining experience. So it starts with Grand Junction. You think you're into one of those Hold Steady anthemic albums, you know, the start of the song, but then it switches down and goes into a bit of a cruise, and it's a great little song. Taking you through a range of Americana, which is good for us Australians to find a little bit about the American culture while it rolls through. Sideways Skull is a classic Hold Steady song, and Carlos is Crying. I know you guys wanted that as the third single. It's a cracking, great song as well. Some really good switch-ups and flip-overs. Understudies is perhaps the most unusual song that the Hold Steady has ever done, which is quite amazing. Overall, really, really happy with ninth studio album. It's a great one. I can't wait to see how it pans out in concert or in show, because they don't really do concerts, do they? Because I'm coming up to Chicago, so it'll be great to see everybody there, and it'll be great to see how this one rolls over and tells me a little bit more about the American experience. Flyover halftime? Yeah. It's there.
That's Andrew from Australia being Andrew. That's
all right, man.
He likes the Americana.
Yeah, and it's funny for him that it was sort of a grower on him and it wasn't an initial, because I will say, and as I said when we did sort of the Flashcast, it still holds up. This was a quick engagement to me, and I think maybe it's because we've heard so much of it, but I was kind of in on Record 9 as soon as it came out, and really it holds up for me in a lot of ways. And I do agree. And like we said, Sideways Skull is definitely the song that I feel like you'll hear at every show, and we'll go into some more, but I kind of agree with Andrew with a lot of what he said.
Yeah. It's funny. Like his comment about it being a grower, like you'll see as we go through some of these, that's a common theme. And, you know, people felt that way about Teeth Dreams when it first came out. Some people didn't even really like Teeth Dreams when it first came out, but there's a lot of people that champion that record now. And I agree. Like, I love this record also. I thought it was great hearing it from the beginning. I'm kind of biased because I love everything they do. But I could see the point of it being a grower, and I think the longer it's around, the more it's going to become part of the canon, you know? All right, so let's move along, and we're going to get to Kat. Kat's actually somebody I want to have on the podcast. She's been around a lot of shows. She's a lot of fun to hang out with, and she's definitely a huge Hold Steady fan, and so we want to thank her for calling in, but here's what Kat has to say.
Hey there, Hood Rat Recap Podcast. This is Kat in Vermont. I just spent the weekend driving around listening to The Price of Progress. That is my preferred method for listening to music, as it is my ideal environment for doing damn near anything. The album is incredible. You know how in The Hobbit, how Smaug the Dragon has the one weak spot that the arrow can hit, and it's like a secret spot way up on his throat or something like that? That's pretty much the album for me. I'm not sure if this makes sense, but this album definitely feels more female this time around. The women who were protagonists previously, their stories were always being told in passing or by someone else. This time around, it definitely feels like the women have more stories to tell. And I don't know if it's because men's and women's paths have diverged over the years, and finally at this stage in our lives, they have converged, coupled with Craig's writing only getting stronger by the year. But it definitely really hit home for me how female this album feels. It's been really fun listening to Sideways Skull get played on stations like The Current and on streaming. This album definitely is a unique experience for me, because this is the first time that it feels like the protagonist and I are the same age. That has not happened with any of their albums up till this point. I feel like this might be why it hits a little heavier for me. as a fan of words wielded perfectly and cleverly, the Bird Watchers completely thrills my little lit nerd side. There's some incredible worlds that are described within one or two lines, which is something that writers who've written their whole lives don't often have the ability to do. So that's a real testament to the songwriting. Grand Junction had me rooted to the spot when I heard it live the first time, and it still does. The freaking song to start the album off just absolutely destroys me right out the gate, and that's the hell of a way to start an album. I also really love the fact that Perdido, which also slays me, and has a feel of the Weekenders to it a little bit, but both Perdido and Understudies really stuck out to me as two songs where you can really feel the entire band stretching their wings. The whole album has really felt like that so far, but on those two songs especially, I could really feel everybody's musical presence and feel everybody not only being cohesive, but trying something new, which I really enjoyed. Carlos's Crying is a really touching subversion of expectations. It's not often that I've heard Craig and the band discuss the repercussions of what happens to those of us who made it out of the wildlife and tried our best to just be normal, and what a toll that can actually take on a person. That is an incredibly powerful song. Sixers for me is the song on the album, which as a whole is that arrow to the weak spot on the dragon, but Sixers alone on its own absolutely just zooms unerringly in on its target. It really speaks to me because it's damn hard as an older, weirder woman to form new and meaningful relationships, be they dating, friendships, anything else. I spent a disastrous and incredibly lonely stint living in the upper Midwest in Minneapolis and Wisconsin a few years ago, and this song pretty much sums up my entire time there. It was pretty brutal, but the band's ever-hopeful crescendos of noise as the story play out just sends me. So there you have it. That's my multi-part, sorry guys, review. The Price of Progress. Thanks.
Well, a lot to unpack with that one. Thanks, Kat, for that great review, by the way. It's it opens up a lot of conversation. There's so much. We can just focus in on that one alone. I do agree with her that I feel like the female protagonists in this record are really front and center. When we talked about it in the Flashcast, I said Perdido was my favorite, and I think that still holds true even now, and that's a very, from the perspective of a female protagonist. And it's interesting that nine records in, that stood out to her too. And that was a good sort of parallel to draw.
Yeah, I really liked her review, man. She did a great job. And like, it's her sentiment on the characters being older or the same age as like we kind of, as the fans are now, like that's echoed in a lot of what Craig has said, where like this is older people with older people problems. You know, I mean, we're not the hood rat at the skate park anymore, you know, and she's spot on with that. So did you see, she got an amazing Hold Steady tattoo, by the way. I don't know if you saw it on some of her Facebook posts, but like a real commitment forearm, like full on tattoo is pretty awesome.
It's huge and it's awesome. Yes. She's got that sleeved up lifestyle. Yeah,
she does. All right. So let's move all the way to Glasgow. David from Glasgow is with us on the speak pipe.
Hi there. It's David from Glasgow. The record's a fair few spins now and, I'm really enjoying it, and I think what I'm really enjoying is that it sits for me really nicely in what we're all calling phase three of the Hold Steady catalogue now, you know, starting through Thrash and ODP and now this, and there's progression through all of these records. It's richer musically again, following on from the last two. There's bright, vivid colours in the music, you know, the Hold Steady, as much as we love them, there are times you could probably level accusations at them that they're black, white and a few shades of grey. With a rock and roll, which we all love and adore, but there's no way you could say that. But this record, I think, obviously, lots of the credits nod to France, but I think probably Steve's had quite a bit of influence in here as well. Galen's bass lines are a joy. That funk that we've not heard before is pretty spectacular, and Craig, as always, brings it home with the lyrics. In terms of favourite tracks, I'm really enjoying Carlos is Crying, but there's nothing that I'm not enjoying. I don't think it's as immediate as some of the other things that Hold Steady have released, but even after three spins that it's had now, I think it's already grown, and I suspect it'll be a firm favourite. Don't know what they'll sound like live, but they sound bloody good on the record. Take it easy.
All right, thanks a lot, David.
What an amazing accent. I thought I was listening to Sick Boy from Trainspotting there. That was just, I love that. It was great.
And, dude, he makes a great point with, like, the idea of a phase three of state of the Hold Steady. Like, I could kind of see it because the sound has shifted a bit after thrashing. I know people say that Open Door Policy is, you know, was just such a stellar record and it stands out differently than this one, but there is definitely a maturity to the band that wasn't there on the earlier records. So I could kind of see the point of the phase three. I like that.
It's also interesting too. He brings up the point about the Steve influence and, you know, when you look at the credits, which I didn't until after I had gotten the physical, Steve and Craig, Carlos is Crying, like, that's their baby, and that's the one that Steve gets the credit on. But for the most part, it's Craig and Franz throughout this. I have the majority, and then Craig and Tad, and then there's just Craig by himself track. But, you know, Steve does get his name on one on this one.
I think it's more than that. I agree. When I listen to this album, I can hear the guitar. I go, there's Steve. And then I'll hear another part and I go, there's Tad. I'll have to go back and listen to some of the later albums to see if that's as evident. Maybe it always has been evident. But on this one, I'm just like, oh, there's Steve. There's Tad. There's Steve. There's Tad. And I can really pick them out on this one. You know, Tad going with his classic licks and then Steve kind of going with that Memphis. I don't know if you guys think the same thing. But
no, I think you're totally right. I think in various spots on the record, they're dabbling with influences and you could hear it where it's bluesier, it's funkier, it's, you know, it's in different directions than they've been before. And it's that influence of the players themselves. I think you definitely can pick out where Steve is playing. I mean, just how much more, maybe not much more, but how Franz is featured on this record is different. Like the synths and the, you know, the different things, like, it's, and they make such an impact on the record, you know, like a song like Grand Junction, it sounds so vast because of those synths. And, you know, that's kind of making the backdrop for the idea of those gigantic skies that they sing about in the song, you know? And like, I thought that was so cool, but I think you're right about, you know, being able to really hear the players featured like in their own element, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, I think it's a fun experiment this far in because, like you said, Mike, I'd have to go back and listen to some of those later records because I do agree with you. I feel the sound, even though they both, when we interviewed Steve, we found out they both kind of use the same guitar, but you can clearly hear the difference in the style and the playing way more on this record than I think you did in previous releases. But now we got Lauren, who gave a speak pipe to us, which...
That's Lauren from St. Paul. If you might remember her from, she played Diamonds in the Drain with us.
Oh, I remember. It's one of my first episodes. That's
good. Hi, this is Lauren in St. Paul, Minnesota. We had a snowstorm, so my record got here late, but I'm finally being able to hear it and start to absorb it. I like it. I really enjoy this section in the middle from Understudies to Sixers and Birdwatchers. And I'm definitely listening a lot to Distortions of Faith and trying to figure that out. I really like that after 20 years, the Hold Steady is still interesting to me. I'm rounding the bases on 40, and it's been really nice to be able to grow up with the Hold Steady. And I hope they'll continue making music for us and continue surprising us with how they sound.
All right. Thanks a lot.
All right. Lauren from St. Paul had it all when she called. All right. I like that.
I think it's fun to hear her say she's rounding the bases on 40 as someone who just turned 50.
It's a lot of bases you've run.
Yeah, well, sometimes you got to go around twice.
That's it. Funny she brings up Distortions of Faith, because we talked about that one on our Flashcast briefly, and I'm sort of with her. I'm still not completely sure what's going on in that song, and I do hope at some point they elaborate for us, because you can read the lyrics and you get the story.
We'll get there. It's actually, so later on in the podcast, when we get a little deeper into the tracks, I kind of get the story behind that. It gets covered in the Rough Trade thing.
Oh, cool.
So we'll definitely get there.
Nice. Now let's jump into Nick, because it seems like he had a little more of had some stuff he didn't like in his.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Nick from West New York. Album's a bit of a mixed bag. Definitely some gems. Carlos is Crying is a classic immediately. I love Perdido. I love Distortions of Faith. I like the kind of anti-jam ending where instead of going to a crescendo, they kind of just mellow out and really see the progression through. Understudies is also pretty tremendous. But what the fuck is City at 11? That song is a mess. And Flyover Halftime, what is that doing there?
All right. Mike, I know you got something to say, actually, about...
First of all, Nick, was that, you guys are from Queens. Is that a real New York accent? No, I'm just kidding. I know it is. He didn't like the two football songs, City at 11 and Flyover Halftime. He's not a football fan, huh? City at 11, I just wanted to kind of comment on that, because I think I got a really good grasp on that song. I can see people being confused by it because it's got quirky lyrics. But what it's basically about, you know, it's City at 11. My man is in his 11th hour. I think that's why Craig titled it that. He's in his 11th hour. He's made some bad bets, and now he's hanging everything on the rainbows. The rainbows is, and I know we have a lot of UK fans and a lot of fans from Asia and stuff, might not know the Rainbow Warriors is actually a football team. Don't feel bad if you didn't know that, because I think there's a ton of Americans that don't know the Rainbow Warriors is a football team. And it's because they play, they kick off at 11, like Craig said, because they play, it's in Hawaii, it's the middle of the day. So I think my man owes a lot of money. It sounds like he lost a lot of money on the Saints on Thursday night football, because he said the Saints are more human than they are holy. So it doesn't sound like that worked out well for him. Oh, he still has a ton of optimism because Hawaii is the middle of the day. You know, back in the city, he must be on the East Coast. It's the 11th hour. It's the last hour of the week because he's been betting college football. That means it's Saturday. So it's, and it sounds like he owes somebody that will cut him into ribbons and feed him to the pigeons. It sounds like he owes him a lot of money at the end of the week, so he's trying to win this. And he says the Tigers score a touchdown in the middle of the ocean. That there was supposed to be a Hawaii Bowl between the University of Hawaii and the Memphis Tigers in 2021, about the time this song would have been written, and it was canceled because of COVID. So I just think it's a really romantic, you know, coming up against the 11th hour, but all the optimism of Hawaii being in the middle of the day. So hopefully you can tell me if you disagree with me, email me and say, Mike, you got the song all wrong. But that's how I read it. So,
well, and that's what it seems like. It seems like whatever bet this is he has, this is the last shot to kind of make some money back for the day. And if you've ever bet sports, which I have, you sort of, when you're betting lines and spreads, you kind of get in this game of your head. Well, they scored a touchdown and I need this many points. And you start doing these crazy math in your head, like, oh, it'll only take this, or I'm ahead and I'm going to win this much back. And it's a whole crazy game of numbers. So it's sort of funny to hear this guy telling the story, but it's a very sort of Craig way of looking at a guy who's really kind of down on his luck. And it's sort of like, this is my last chance, not, and like to quote a football term, like it's Hail Mary to sort of come out of this situation before the guy who does the collections is going to come and dice him up for all the money he owes.
Nice. I see what you did there with the Hail Mary. I like it.
See that?
All right. So let's move on to another Nick. This is Nick from the UK.
Hey, Hood Rat Recap Podcast. This is Nick from Southampton, UK. Big fan of the podcast, long-time fan of the band. Yeah, what an album. It's blown me away already. I think it's going to be a grower as well. It's going to get better and better. I love how it sounds just so different from what's come before, but still so recognizably there. Darker. The musicianship is just incredible and just so different. In terms of favorite songs, wow. Out of the stuff that was already released, it's too close to call. Probably Sixes, but I don't know. And of the stuff that we'd only heard live and the stuff that we hadn't heard at all, changes every 5 minutes. Currently a big fan of Birdwatchers, but you know, that's likely to change by the end of the day. But anyway, thanks for the podcast. Cheers and stay positive. Bye.
All right. Thank you, Nick. So, I mean, he brings up Birdwatchers and like, once again, like I'm still puzzled about that song. In talking to people about this record, people see a connection between Birdwatchers and Distortions of Faith, or at least maybe feel like a thematic connection. And I think there could be something to that. I think we talked a little bit about how it could be about Ukraine with the Franz influence. And so continuing on with my internet research, I brought up a couple of one particular thing that I thought was interesting. So he has that line where he says the Golden Eagles against the Blue or something like that.
The view through the binoculars was spooky but spectacular. Blue sky and Golden Eagles and little puffs of smoke.
Yeah, that's the line. So now Golden Eagles, when you do a Google search on what's the significance of Golden Eagles, it's a Russian symbol. It's Russian symbolism, which kind of, and he does mention like they get the cigarettes from the Russians that they met. Like it puts you in that, you know what I mean? And the that eerie start with the music box sound and then like that urgent droning into like the more upbeat part, like it's like you're marching. And like he's talking about the curfews and the skirmishes, and I think it's definitely got to do at least a little bit with the war in Ukraine. That would be my guess. But have now listening to Birdwatchers, like, do you guys have any insight?
Interesting, because you know what line I got sort of hung up on was the line about the cardinal and the colonel said the ringing of the church bells are a signal from the generals, and looking at it in sort of the religious sense of like, you know, when the church bells ring, it's like, all right, everybody come in for mass. Yet here in this situation and in this setting, they're using it really to talk about like, get down, because there's missiles or rockets or bombs coming in.
Right.
You know, but it's interesting that out of the two that he could have picked, as he talked about birds throughout the whole song of different types, but in that one section, when tied to the church bells, the fact that he brings up the cardinal, which is also a religious title in the church, it just sort of plays into what he does. But I feel, you know, I mean, they call out the Russian soldiers selling black market cigarettes in the song, and it's pretty apparent that this is talking about the war. And, you know, I think it's a very unique look, but I would really love to hear kind of the, like, where it came from in terms of, you know, this was a Franz song with Craig, but how much of the, and, you know, it says it's written by Craig, and usually Craig does the lyrics, but how much of the influence of the way the story is told is from Franz talking right to Craig about what's going on, and then Craig doing what Craig does so well with the story.
Yeah, I didn't know if it was like a South America, because he was saying blue skies and the Eagles, and I was thinking, you know, Delusions of Faith sounds like it's about a dictator, so I was thinking Central South America, and I thought this song might be in the same country, and I didn't know if they were buying black market guns from the Russians and then, you know, bringing them to the counter force, because it sounds like the name of the song is Bird Watchers, plural, and they meet the bird watcher at the beginning. And then the last line of the little song is when they're asked for their credentials, they say, we're looking for birds. So I think they're walking through the woods, you know, smuggling something, if it's black market guns or something. And I think they're dressed as bird watchers as they're doing it, you know, but I don't know. It's a deep song. Yeah.
it's definitely one to ask at Massive Nights on the soundcheck. I'd love to get that question answered, but interesting that you brought up the cardinal, because I wanted to point one thing out, and here is where I make everyone who believes that the Holly storyline is dead make their eyes roll. And look, I know he doesn't write about Holly anymore. That's been established, but it's hard to ignore. She says, I think we could use you. And like, where else have we heard that from? You know what I mean? Like, it's almost like it's a callback.
This is your petition or your lobby for that story still going, at least in your heart.
It's just one of those things where, like, he said it a million times. I'm not talking about those characters anymore, but, like, I can't help but be in my basement with my oak tag and my red thread trying to put all this stuff together. It's a sickness. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, rounding up our speak pipes, we have Rob from the UK who just did the Weekenders for us. So let's hear what Rob's got to say.
Hey, this is Rob from London. I'm really enjoying The Price of Progress so far. Obvious standout track for me is Grand Junction. Also, liking the Clothes I Fly Over halftime reminds me a bit of The Swish. Some other tracks on there are pretty great as well. I love the sort of fills and the licks in some of the songs. Birdwatchers stands out to me, as does City at 11.
So, off the bat, I just want to say, I think it's amazing that he was talking about Birdwatchers and had a soundtrack of birds behind him. So that was cool, Rob. Yeah. I'm assuming he stepped outside and you know, it was probably quieter out there, but man, with those
birds. No, I think he actually has a collection of birds that he was stoking while doing the thing, like feeding birds in the park just to have a cooler background. I'm going to believe that version of the story.
Perhaps he is a bird watcher.
Or he's the collector in City at 11 and he's feeding you to the pigeons. That's good. We got all kinds of angles here. So.
All right, but that's going to wrap up our speak pipes. And thank you guys so much for calling in with these. We love them. And please continue to use our speak pipe. You can go to any of our social media, or you can go right to the Linktree, linktr.ee/thehoodratrecap, and there's a big speak pipe button, and just come talk to us about whatever you want to talk to us about, man.
Yeah, I'm just going to put a link to it in the show notes. I think that's the easiest way to get to it. So
awesome.
So that's it for the answering machine.
So coming out of the answering machine, our man on the street, Gasper himself, went to the Rough Trade in-store appearance, which I could not make, but I know he came home with more copies of the vinyl than record players he has, and could probably fill us in on what happened there. And I know while he was there, he interviewed a bunch of you people that were there with him for some sort of man on the street. So why don't you tell us how that went down?
Oh, it was great. So went to Rough Trade, very similar setup to the Craig Solo show. I was kind of surprised that they were playing the actual store, because I know they sometimes use the venue next door for, like, larger stuff. And, you know, it's a small store, man. It's tiny. And I'm like, where are they going to put all these people? But there we were, standing amongst the record racks and checking them out. And it was such a cool, like, intimate show. And the performance is not like a soundcheck one where they're like really like very, very low key, but this was more a reserved version of these songs. And I don't know if we remember if we have the set list from the previous ones. I'm guessing it's definitely largely similar, if it's not the same exact set list, but they played Multitude of Casualties, Grand Junction, Perdido, Distortions of Faith, Cattle and the Creeping Things, Modesto's Not That Sweet, Death of a Punchline, the new song, and Oaks. So that feels like it was very similar to me to what they had.
Did they play Sketchy Metal?
They did play Sketchy Metal.
Because you didn't say that, but yep. Then it's exactly the same as the Rough Trade ones from the UK, looking them awesome. Up. So that seems to be their in-store and set list.
Now having seen it, I could see why, because it is like, you know, they're playing a smaller room, and they're plugged in, they're electric, but like it's a subdued version of it, and it was kind of cool. It really felt like you were almost sitting in a living room, like hearing them sit around and play. And man, is Punchline a great song. I want that to be on a record, or at least released as a single, because it's another anthem. It's got a Springsteen feel to it, and awesome guitar solo. And I wish I had more of the lyrics memorized, but I was sitting there like, this is such a great song.
Now, has that only been played in the in stores? I don't think I've seen that on a set list yet at an actual show.
Yeah, that's the only place it's been played. I would imagine they're going to start playing it live, because it's too good of a song to not play. And it definitely feels like a solid, like, hold steady anthem. I think it's going to get a lot of attention. It's just a matter of, like, where it's going to show up, because they didn't add it as a secret track. I thought maybe we'd find it on, like, a UK release as a bonus track or something like that, but it's not out there. But I did get to speak to a lot of the people online. People were very gracious to talk to me. So let's hear a little bit from some of the fans.
My name's Buster.
Okay, where are you from?
From London.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I love the new record. Awesome. Absolutely. I've only listened to it a couple of times. But
what do you like about the new record?
Well, it doesn't deviate from what I expect of the whole study in any way. And I absolutely love the storytelling as always.
Awesome.
Mainly what I listen to the band for. So, yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So what's your name?
Tyler.
And where are you from?
I'm from Ridgewood, Queens.
Oh, okay. I'm actually from Middle Village.
So. Oh, no kidding.
All right. Neighbors.
Yeah, no kidding.
Awesome. So what do you think of the new record?
I actually haven't listened to it in full yet. I was waiting for tonight, and I was going to take the vinyl home and listen it kind of straight through. I've obviously listened to the singles, and I heard a couple of the songs live that they've played in Brooklyn in December.
Yeah.
But I haven't done the full through on the album yet. I've been waiting. I was actually just texting some friends who haven't been so patient and have been debating it and comparing it a lot to some of Finn's solo stuff. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm excited to listen to it all the way through.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, no problem.
He brings up a good point that I was going to ask you guys about. Like, what do you think about that notion that the Craig solo stuff is informing this new record?
I think it definitely is on one side of the coin. And then the second side of the coin, like we discussed before, I think we're hearing more Franz, we're hearing more Steve, Tad is still coming in. So yeah, the writing style is like a solo. And then I think the band is bigger than ever on the other hand.
Right. I mean, I think you see it on certain songs, like specifically Perdido, I think could be on a Craig Finn record, like very easily. It almost feels like more of a Craig Finn song than it does a Hold Steady song.
And I get that too. I almost feel that way too about Sixers, which is one of my favorites on this record. I feel like that's easily a Craig song, and it's interesting that stands out to was it Tyler? Was he the last one that just said that? In as much
it was
that I nope, was it Tyler. Tyler?
You're right. Yeah, nope, Tyler. You're right.
Sorry. It was Tyler. And you know, knowing a lot of artists and ones that do solo projects outside of their main thing. Any artist I ever talk to that says that they do that says when they go and write their solo material or write a different record, when they come back to their band, they always feel better and invigorated because it helps them sort of purge some of those demons or that, you know, those ideas that they want to get out, but it just doesn't work for the Hold Steady. I never felt like Craig's solo stuff sounds that different. I mean, the layers aren't there, but his singing is so unique that I feel like it shines through even in the solo stuff. But maybe that's why I love this record better, is because he's done solo stuff in between. And, you know, I do agree with Tyler a little bit, though.
I mean, it's hard. Like, I see what you're saying, because, like, he is the lead singer in both situations. And, like, look, his voice is going to sound the way it does. But his style on the solo stuff is, I find, more melodic, more he's singing more than he is talking, unless we're talking about like God Is in Chicago or one of those where he's purposefully talking to the song. Where the Hold Steady, like he leans more into like the origin of Lifter Puller. You know what I mean? Like that you can draw way more parallels to Lifter Puller and Hold Steady than you can to Craig Finn and Lifter Puller. You know? So it's like that to me, that's the left and the right of it. But I mean, Mike, you've been listening to Lifter Puller longer than all of us. Like, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, he's got, I think we even had a suntan soldier in this album, which goes back to the eye patch guy on Lifter Puller. I think it's funny you guys all gave a different example of what a song that sounds like a solo. I thought Distortions of Faith, I thought, was the one that sounded most solo albumish to me. So we all gave a different answer there. So that's that just kind of lends credence to it. Yeah.
Okay, what's your name?
James from Long Island.
Nice. And so what do you think of the new record so far?
So far, so good. A couple spins through. Like it. Kind of, they're always moving the ball, kind of keeping things fresh. So I'm loving it so far.
Cool. You got a favorite track so far?
You know, I'll start by saying I like Sixers a lot when they put it out a couple months ago, but I'm a sucker for openers and like Grand Junction a lot. That's cool.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
You got it.
What's your name?
Paul.
And where are you from, Paul?
From St. Louis originally, but I live here now.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And what do you think of the new record?
I love it.
Favorite track?
Grand Junction. From non-singles, Grand Junction really stood out to me. Yeah, I think they killed it.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
I agree, man. Like, Grand Junction is still one of my favorite songs on this record. And I mean, I know I've said it before a couple of times now, but like that vastness that the keyboards lend to it, and like, it's, I love that, and it's such an awesome opening to the record.
I agree. We did talk about the how great of an opening it was, and right before we got on, we saw that a music video just came out for that song, which, right, as you referenced, was sort of the way for the band to recap those Weekender shows with their audience. And you know, it looks no different than a Brooklyn show or a Minneapolis show. It's always people, bodies jammed upon bodies, trying to hand out glitter, sweating on each other, and just like, it's like going to church.
And I thought they did such a great job with the video of like capturing that feeling of being at a Hold Steady show. You know what I mean? Like, as you're watching them hand out the confetti and the people singing along, and like these guys with their eyes closed, like they're at church almost, like it made me be like, I want to be at a show right now. You know, like it was such a cool little video, I thought.
Yeah, whoever's been doing their videography work is really good. He's better in slow motion than Scorsese, I think. He does a really nice job with everything. So.
Wow, that's an endorsement and a half.
And it was kind of cool to see, like, the Weekender guys get a video. I mean, we got one in Massive Nights, and now they have one, and, you know, that's awesome. You know, we're bookends.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what's your name?
Neil.
And where are you from?
Upper West Side.
Oh, nice. And so what do you think of the new record?
I think it's the most adventurous lyrically.
Okay.
I think it combines a lot of what Craig Finn does on his solo albums to tell stories better than any other record.
I agree. It's really kind of, it's almost like the solo stuff is informing the new record.
But yeah.
Cool. Do you have a favorite track?
I know it's not going to sound original, but I love Sideways Skull just because I heard it live. I think I heard the first live performance at Massive Nights, and I've loved that track ever since.
Cool. Thank you very much.
Got it.
Hi. So what's your name?
Jackson.
And where are you from?
New York.
Okay. And do you like the new Hold Steady record?
Yes.
And what's your favorite song?
Sideways Skull.
All right. Thank you. All right, so I got away with one. That's my son, Jackson. But he is a fan of the band, and he does really like Sideways Skull.
Look, we've been predicting that song's going to be around for a while, so Jackson just knows what's up.
And, dude, it is such a great song, and it's going to be fun to see live. And like, live when you've really heard the song and you really know it. I think it's going to be great. But, I mean, I also, I really like Neil's point of, like, the lyrically, this is a pretty adventurous record. You know what I mean? Like, it's deeper than some of the stuff that we've heard prior. You know what I mean? We're puzzling over these lyrics. You know, like, we're really thinking about them, and I think that's awesome. You know,
I think lyrically and musically, it's very adventurous. I mean, we've got different soundscape layers. You know, different than, of course, their first albums. And yeah, I'm digging it, man.
So what's your name?
I'm Jim.
And where are you from?
I'm from Long Island.
Awesome. And so what do you think of the new record?
It's a grower. So okay. I've sat with it a couple of times now. I haven't had as much because I've had some work and stuff. But, you know, I like Grand Junction a lot. I like Carlos Is Crying, which I've seen him play a couple of times. The single's great. I'm in the video. If you look closely, I'm there.
Awesome.
During the piano break. No, I really like it. I think it's a little bit different than what they've done. It's more of it's a little moodier, I think, right? It doesn't have the obvious rockers and the obvious like sort of like anthemic type songs. I think it's just something you're gonna have to grow into.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Got it.
All right, so there you go. And, you know, talking about Carlos Is Crying, like, so I've been going back and forth on what's happening in that song. What do you think the butter is? He brings it up twice. It's clearly important because he does bring it up twice. What do you think they're doing?
I've heard other people say they think it's a drug reference. I'm not feeling it that way. I feel it's like they're being, these characters feel like they're cooked. They're getting fried. They're going to work every day, getting fried out. They're making every talk they have is about finances. That's how I read it.
I have a theory. This is me with my oak tag and my red thread. I do think it's a drug reference. I think it's a heroin reference. And the reason I think that is, so there is a street term for heroin, and it's mostly in the Spanish neighborhoods. It's manteca. So like if you were in a Spanish neighborhood looking for heroin, you would ask, hey, do you have any manteca? And supposedly that comes from it's kind of almost like a play on there's a brand called Mantequilla, which is a brand of butter. So, and the fact that like when the butter's burning, it's blackened, it's that imagery there. Like, I think that's lending to the heroin thing. And also in the song he's talking about, so they're young and they're kids and they're skaters and like everything was cool. And then for some reason he's on this medication and that's where it all kind of goes wrong. And that's such a but it's such a common theme for people on painkillers and stuff. They'll move from painkillers to heroin. So I support the drug reference thing.
It's funny because I thought it was a drug reference too. And the way it sort of ends is, it's sort of interesting, and maybe it's just my interpretation, but here's all this stuff going on in the song and everybody, the pain and the crying and the breakdowns. But like the guy at the end is just concerned, like, don't ruin the heroin.
Right.
Like, that's sort of how it ends. Like, we don't care. Like, I get it, you're in pain, but like, turn off the burner because the butter is burning. Like, just letting it go. Like, don't screw up my high. Don't fuck up the drugs because it's all we got.
I agree with you there because it's like, I thought to myself, like, does this group really care about him or are they like feigning caring about him? Because if you look at the one line where he says, I asked him if he wanted me to offer to walk him to his car.
Carlos didn't even seem to care who was taking in the breakdown. I asked him if he wanted me to offer to walk him to his car.
That's such a weird way to put that, man. You know what I mean? It's like, I would be like, hey, man, you want me to walk you to your car? You wouldn't say like, hey, man, do you want me to offer to walk you to your car? It's almost like you don't really give a shit.
Right. And even at the end, like the last sort of lyrics of the song where the guy's like, I love you, I feel you. Like he's like trying to sympathize. Like, yeah, you got all this shit going on, but like, cool, but turn off the burner because you're going to burn the drugs and then we're going to have nothing. Like, right. And that's sort of how it ends, which is interesting. The other thing that Jim says, which is sort of interesting, and I'm not as fan as long as you guys are, so maybe you could speak to this. Like, everybody who sort of says the album is a grower, but I kind of feel like every Hold Steady record, like, you need time to digest. They're never instant. Like, you kind of got to pour over it. You got to get into the lyrics. Like, the stories they tell, they're not always so in your face immediate. Like, it's almost like bothering me a little bit that everyone's like, oh, it's a grower. Like, growers not a bad thing.
I kind of slightly disagree. I think it's a grower and a shower. I think it showed up right away. And, if you allow the Pornhub reference there, but I thought it was, I see it both ways. I mean, I was into it right away immediately. And then it grows on you with more listens. You hear more detail.
I agree. I really love the record, but I kind of get the sentiment because like, so where I disagree with you, Kev, is like, Separation Sunday, Almost Killed Me, Stay Positive were records that, like, I loved them from the second I heard them. I loved every single song. They were all, like, you're in, you know? And for me, Heaven Is Whenever was like that, too, and I know it wasn't like that for a lot of people. Teeth Dreams, when I heard it, was kind of like, it's good. It's the whole study, but it's not the best they've been. But then as you spend time with it, they're some of my favorite songs, you know what I mean? And so I get what he's saying. I don't know if I necessarily agree. I do really like the record. I just feel like it's a different phase of the Hold Steady. But it's a popular, you know, it's a popular opinion, and I could see it. Okay. What's your name?
Brendan.
And where are you from?
Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania.
Oh, nice. And so what do you think of the new record?
I really like it. You know, I think it's already been said, but the storytelling you get on this album is just, you know, amazing, and you get, like, a lot of influences like God in Chicago and just other just kind of, you know, whole stories are just one track.
Okay. And favorite track?
Understudies.
Really? Nice. Yeah. Awesome. Thank you. So what's your name?
Keenan Mahoney.
And where are you from?
I'm from here on the Upper East Side, New York City.
Okay. So what do you think of the new record so far?
I dig it. I like the reflecting some adult issues. I feel like it's mirroring my growing up. I first saw them in like 2006 in Tallahassee, Florida. So it's cool. It's been cool to grow up with the band.
You have a favorite track so far?
Understudies.
Nice. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Well, I'll take this one. As the guy who didn't like Understudies, it's really grown on me since I've listened to it. But I've been putting the record on from Grand Junction and listening straight through. So in the scope, it definitely feels better than when it was a standalone. I know I said that before, but I don't listen to a record where I go, I'm going to put on track 5 and then track 7 and shuffle it. Like, I start at the beginning and I sit to it through the end. Sort of like somebody was saying before, they drive around. I've been listening to it a lot in the car, and it actually plays well on drives because it's not very long and I can pretty much get through it going to most places.
So I did want to make a point of like something that he throws out. These songs are all like standalone stories. I do agree with him. Like, I know I pontificate a lot about, hey, the connection between this song or that song, or the connection between other songs. Like, I do, when you really get right down to it, I think these are self-contained stories. And I think he's right about that. And that's cool. You know, it doesn't all have to connect. It's not necessary.
And I was just going to say, like, with songs like Understudies and Carlos is Crying, I can almost see him as a movie, almost like there's a camera boom, because I can see where everybody's standing when they say something or something. So I think it's really remarkable songwriting by Craig again.
Definitely cinematic. There's definitely that cinematic quality to it. I agree.
It's interesting, too, that those two songs are back to back, because they sort of deal with the same kind of topic of, you know, this drug and the usage and how it affects each of these players in each story differently, you know.
Right.
Both be good one-act plays, I think.
Exactly.
All right, what's your name?
Billy Atkinson.
And where are you from?
I'm from Philadelphia, but I live in the Bronx now.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Okay. And so what do you think of the new record?
I think it's good. I think in, like, the newer era of the Hold Steady, this is, like, them finally sounding like they're there. You know, for a couple records there, it sort of sounded like they were on their way there. The record itself, I know there was an earlier comment about the mix. I think you really have to crank it up. It's mixed really low. But I like the songs. I like Sixers.
Okay.
So
yeah. Do you have a favorite track?
Sixers is probably the one I've listened to the most at this point, so probably still that one.
Okay, so your name?
Charles Epting.
And where are you from?
Dover Plains, New York.
Awesome. And so what do you think of the new record?
I like it. The last couple have been sort of slow burns for me. I'm treating this one, it's hitting me almost more like a Craig solo record than a Hold Steady record.
Okay.
So that's sort of the way I'm approaching it is, again, it's taken a little bit longer. A lot of, you know, before the last couple, they were all day one instant classics. This one I'm spending more time with. There's more nuance to it, I think, and that's what's, it's more of a challenge, but I think more rewarding.
Cool. Do you have a favorite track?
Sixers. I heard someone else say it. That's when that single came out, it was so much more literal than what I'm used to. There was really nothing left to the imagination, and I'm trying to, you know, approach it differently than I would a normal Hold Steady song. So that's the one that I've been spending the most time with.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Take care.
Well, my name's Tim. This is Jackie.
Hi.
We're from the UK, but we live in New York.
Oh, okay.
We live in New York City. So I've only played the album a couple of times, but yeah.
Okay. First impressions of it.
Cool. It sounds very much like kind of their early stuff, you know, a few years ago. So, yeah.
Awesome. Great. Got a favorite track yet, or?
There's one tonight. Is it Sixers or something? Is
uh-huh.
it? I love that. Oh, that's sounding excellent. I only heard that for the first time tonight. I thought, yeah, that's
awesome.
Cool. So, yeah.
Thank you very much.
So it's interesting. Like, that song is popular, and then in a little bit we're going to hear from somebody who does not like that song. While we're on Sixers, so I listened through to our sister podcast, I guess you could say, our friends over at the Hold Steady is for Women, and they had an awesome recap of this record. You should definitely go check that out. But they brought up an excellent point. I can't remember which one of them. It might have been Heidi, but I'm not sure. She said, do you think Sixers is a hallucination? And it just kind of struck me. It's like, wow, man, I have never thought of it that way. Where it's like, she starts that song, she's crushing up the pills, watching the basketball highlights. And then she hears the footsteps, and then she goes upstairs, and then this whole interaction happens. And if you go through the lyrics, it's for a minute there, it almost sounds like they develop a relationship, but it's only the one night. You know what I mean? They're trading inside jokes and they're doing the takeout and all this stuff. And then he goes in for the kiss and it's like, oh, it's not really like that. And she leaves, but it's just the one night. So like, is this a hallucination? Like that was, I thought that was such a poignant point and I just wanted to point it out. I really like that.
She's planning her own party tonight. Crushing up pills at home, watching basketball highlights. She thinks she hears footsteps, but now they're not really there.
That's an interesting way of looking at it. I don't feel that. I kind of thought it was sort of based in reality because it starts with, you know, her getting the beer from the street and then watching the replays, but... You know, to think that it's a potential hallucination, that's a unique interpretation.
What do you think, Mike?
I think the fact that the guy had a Nagel print and he listens to Sinatra, you just can't make that up. This guy's pure baller and I'm on his team. So that's all I can say about it, really.
So your name?
Corey McGinnis.
And where are you from?
Portland, Oregon. Nice. But living here in Brooklyn.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what do you think of the new record?
I have mixed feelings about it.
Okay.
I feel like I am the only person that doesn't like Sixers.
Really?
I really do not like Sixers.
Okay.
I love the Hold Steady. They're one of my favorite bands. I'm pretty sure everyone in this line can say that. But yeah, it's a great album. I really do love it. But yeah, I think there's just a couple songs that are a little weak. But yeah, I enjoyed overall. I think the mix is a little all over the place.
Okay.
But
it's not the first time I've heard
But that being said, Grand Junctions is fantastic.
Awesome.
Birdwatchers is great.
So what do you think Birdwatchers is about? Because I've been trying to puzzle that out.
Okay,
myself.
So my thought, I saw someone mentioned, I actually think Birdwatchers and,
Distortion's Faith
are similar, are the same song, or like the same story going on.
Okay.
Yeah, that's my thought. Some diplomat, something going on with a war, kind of in maybe another country that's at war with somebody else. That's my take.
Cool.
On it. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Cool, yeah.
So he's right, and Craig made a point of specifically getting into the story at Distortions of Faith at the performance. And so what he says is Distortions of Faith is about a pop star who gets this lucrative deal to play in front of a dictator. And shit gets weird. And they have to cruise. And this is like almost verbatim what he says. And he says they leave without even playing the concert, but they still get paid, which they're very happy about. So he's right about what it's about. I go back and forth on whether it's connected to Birdwatchers or not, because there is that whole dictator thing. But again, these do really do feel like standalone songs. But one of the things I like about Distortions of Faith is it's probably the bluesiest Hold Steady song that I've heard them play.
It's I think Steve, does he have like a ukulele setting on his guitar? It almost slips into ukulele sounding at some points.
Yeah. It's a very nice guitar effect he has. The other thing that was it Corey that we just listened to? And it's come up a few times, which I guess we should talk about quickly, is the mix being bad. I will say listening to it on vinyl versus listening to it as lossless on Apple Music, it's definitely lower on the vinyl. I don't know if it's a pressing thing. I wouldn't say the mix is bad. I think it's more on the mastering end, it seems like, just to my ear. But, you know, it's definitely not the loudest album, and if you put it on in my home system against any other record, like I had it on today, and then I was just, for shits and giggles, threw on The Downward Spiral by Nine Inch Nails, and on the same volume setting, Nine Inch Nails was blowing out my house compared to, and that's a over 20-year-old record.
Right.
So kind of something happened somewhere, and again, these things with plants and whatnot, It's a tricky process, but when I listen to it on Apple Music, it's fine. But the vinyl to me is definitely lower.
See, and it's funny. So I was talking with my father-in-law Chuck over the weekend, and he brought up a whole point about that of just over the years how music medium changing and how they found what that did to the mix and the mastering, and that's why you see so many remastered things coming out, where he's like, you know, when CDs kind of became the thing, it was like, wow, we're getting so much more bass, but like it's messing up this other area and it doesn't quite sound right, so they remix it. Or like when we went to streaming, it was like, you know, look what it's doing to the high end, we got to fix that. And like, so I wonder, in this era of like everything is streaming or vinyl, so like, are you trying to play to both and it just something gets lost in the process? Or I mean, you would know better than that than I would, Kev, but
there's a term they call brick walling, which back in the day when everybody was mixing for CD and digital, they would push everything up in the mix because the frequencies were sort of restricted, and you would see that everything was so hot, and it would call it a brick wall because the waves would push and just become flat at the top end. And you're right, that's why a lot of these things do go back now and get remastered, because you know some of those are not viable for vinyl, and when you go to vinyl with that type of thing, it doesn't play, which is why a lot of these digital transfers to vinyl, everybody's like, oh, it sounds so good, but they're really, it's not true analog, it's not true vinyl, it's a digital file that they're just literally printing on wax, and that's why you'll see them go back, you'll read on covers, things are cut, or they're cut at 45 RPMs, because everybody's trying to fix those years where louder was better. And, you know, I would have to look even at the Nine Inch Nails when I had, if that was cut from the master or not, or if it's just a digital print, because I imagine that record was probably pretty digital at that point. But it, to me, on the vinyl, when it's on, it's low, but I still feel the warmth of it. And so to me, that's a good mix. Could you have mastered and probably pushed the everything up louder? Probably, but you know, that's whoever mastered it. That was what their ears heard, and that's how they sent it out. And you know, by the time it hits the vinyl plant, so many years have listened to it. So it's easy for us to sit here and armchair quarterback it and say, oh, it's low on my system and whatnot. But sometimes that's what the artists intend and that's what they want. And right. You know,
I think it's fine.
It's not a mistake. I will tell you that. There's no way it's a mistake.
But
and just to repeat myself, I say the mix, like I can't remember on other albums where, you know, you can hear Galen, you can hear Steve, you can hear Tad kind of separately. And so right. With, I think there are some very good things with the mix also.
I agree with you there too, because it's like, it's so apparent on songs where like specifically with Galen, like, wow, you're really hearing the bass for the first time, like it featured in these songs. And so I think it's fine. You know, everyone's got their own opinion, but I think it's fine.
And that's why I don't think it's a mix issue. I think it's more of a mastering issue, because I actually agree. I think the mix is good, because I think the parts are, the people that say Craig's voice is low, I don't think his voice is too low. I feel like I hear it fine over everything else. If the whole thing was mastered a little louder, I could see that.
Okay. So your name?
Michael Ledecky.
And where are you from?
I'm from Washington, D.C., but I live on the Upper West Side.
Nice. And what do you think of the new record so far?
I'm loving the new record. Been playing it on repeat.
Awesome. You have a track yet?
I think Perdido is a sneaky hit. Nobody's talking about that one. Understudies is also very listenable, and repeat listens on that. It's been great.
Cool. Been Thank you very
it.
Much.
Yeah.
There you go. Perdido is the sneaky hit. He's in your camp.
Michael's my boy. There you go, Michael. I've been saying Perdido since the Flashcast.
It's me and Michael. It's a great song.
It is.
And I think at this point, like we've done every track on the record. Like we've talked about everything. The only one we kind of left off was Fly Over Halftime, which I know is Mike's favorite song, or one of his favorite songs. And the only thing I got to add to that is like I can't wait to see him play that song, because I feel like it's gonna become a little more Lifter Puller. Like I could see in my head him screaming that, like, we got a fan on the field, like in that.
That's gonna be a big line. I was thinking the same thing.
And I'm looking really forward to it.
Can I give you guys my little Rocky Horror Picture Show idea I have for that one? On Amazon, sure. you can buy a plain yellow bandana for $6.99 on Amazon. So when he says the ref made a terrible call, throw in the yellow laundry.
Throw the yellow penalty flag.
I think you got something here. I think we need to push this.
All right, people. Everybody listening, go out and get this $6.99 bandana, and then at the next show, we're all going to throw it like Rocky Horror. I'm in on that idea.
I mean, I think
we'll try out in Chicago and Minnesota, see what happens.
Mm-hmm. At the very least, you got to get a chuckle out of Craig, I think.
All right, and I know we've talked about the whole record, and just to kind of wrap up real quick, the record from start to finish, as I've listened to it, ebbs and flows so well that when you get to the final of Flyover Halftime, like, I actually appreciate that it kind of goes out on the up and not really the down or the mellow. Like, it kind of gives you this kind of fun and not even so deep. Like, it's literally a story about a guy running on the field during a football game. And to me, that was the best way they could have ended this record, because it just keeps all the emotions that you've gone on the previous nine songs. And this one's kind of a little lighter overall. It's just the guy getting banned for life from a football field, which is not as bad as burning the butter or some of the other things we deal with earlier on.
Yeah. Well, hopefully the AstroTurf was soft and the security guard's hands were softer, because he got taken down pretty hard, it sounds like.
All right. So I want to thank everybody who talked to us on the street outside of Rough Trade and everybody who called in on the SpeakPipe. You guys are awesome. You made this episode possible. And we're really happy with the way this turned out. And thank you guys so much. And we hope to hear from you on the SpeakPipe some more, man. Like I said, you want to just head over to Linktree, which is linktr.ee/thehoodrat recap. Hit that SpeakPipe button. And like Mike says, man, give us whatever you want. Your misheard hold steady lyrics, your trivia. You try to stump us on something. Give us an idea.
Tell us where we were wrong.
Yeah. Tell us what we are wrong in so many places. Or just come say hi.
We'd love to hear from you. And thanks, everybody, for giving a listen. This episode, as we said, this was your episode. And we're glad we got to kind of share it with you, because everybody that called in, all the people on the street, it's fun. It's fun as a fan to have a new record from your favorite artist and kind of get to break it down. And, you know, I think even as we talk about it moving forward and more shows happen, I think the outlook's going to change. So give us a like, give us a follow. We're on Twitter, Facebook, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. Tell a friend. And really, we've seen the engagement, and we want to thank you all for giving a listen as we're rolling into almost year two of the Hood Rat Recap.
Mm-hmm. All right, so that's going to do it for us here on the Hood Rat Recap. I'm Gasper, that's Kevin, and that's Mike, and us guys, and all you guys and gals, all of us, we are all the Hood Rat Recap Podcast.
Yeah. Killer party songs.